Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 160, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, give ear unto my cry, and to my voice attend. And though far from home and from thy house, to thee my prayers ascend. 1 through 4 of Psalter 160. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, the 23rd chapter, beginning with verse 24 through verse 45. Luke 23, verses 24 through 45. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, in the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 23, beginning with verse 24. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him and that for sedition and murder and was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one, Simon a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, and that he might bear it after Jesus. There followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Van Heerden, whose brother-in-law has passed away in the Netherlands in this past week. Also Mr. Harry Vanee, who must receive cataract surgery in this coming week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, we may gather under thy great goodness and long-suffering mercies in this morning hour in thy house. Remember those that are not able to come up with us. When thou hast sent the snow, and Lord, thou knowest then there may be some whom it does hinder. In this morning hour, perhaps it was for them a great disappointment. And there are others that are not able to come up for the weakness, for the sicknesses of the body. Lord, thou knowest each one of them. And others in other circumstances. Lord, oh, that thou may remember them in their places in this morning and in this day, when they are far from thy house, as we have sung it together already in this morning out of thy holy word. That was the case also of thy servant, but thou canst still make it so well, and thou dost privilege us, and that we may come together around thy holy word and everlasting testimony, and we may read it already together. And Lord, then the weeks wherein we are, wherein we may consider together at that greatest event concerning the salvation of thy church, the suffering and the death of thine only begotten Son. And thou knowest all our hearts, for we have from our side the world living in our hearts, and we cannot get it out of our hearts. Then there is no place for thee, and there is no place for thy Son, and for the work that he has done. And then we come up out of form and out of custom. Oh, if it shall ever remain so, Lord, then thou knowest what our end shall be. And though we have come and gone from the place of the holy our whole life long, and it shall all testify against us in that great day of days, and great shall be our judgment and our punishment, and to a great and never-ending eternity. Oh, we need our eyes to be opened, Lord. And thou art the only one who is able to do this. And we ask in this morning, and when we are come round about thy word, in thy holy house of prayer, that thou would also send thy Spirit to be among us, and to help us to bring thy word, but especially that thy word may be received in our hearts, that it may not be as perhaps it has been hitherto for many of us, that we have left this place harder and colder and more under thy judgments than we have ever come in. But, oh, that thou may grant thy grace to penetrate our wretched and sinful hearts, thy word to be as an arrow in this morning hour, that it may not be that thy Son was stricken, and that our hearts, they are never stricken, that he has died, and that we still also must die, that he was punished, and that we also still shall be punished, because there was no place for him and the mediatorial work that he has accomplished in our hearts and in the hearts of our dear children. Oh, grant us true conversion, and give us to begin to see our sin, and more we might abhor ourselves in dust and in ashes before thee, and that we might learn to humble ourselves, to confess our sins, and to draw near in a true hope and an expectation at the footstool of thee, who art able to forgive us all our sins, to wash and to cleanse us and to receive us again into thy blessed and thy holy communion. Oh, take reasons out of thyself, when on our side it is so undeserved. Oh, that thou would take us by heart and by hand, and that thou would lead us away from the service of this world, from the love of the world. Let us dwell and live and prosper and flourish in our hearts, except that thou wouldst come and break it down, and that thou wouldst make us a stranger and a pilgrim here below, that we may put our back to the world, and that we may have one purpose, one need, one desire, one cry, one sigh. Oh, that it may be unto the Lord of Sabaoth, that we may hasten for the sake of our life. Remember that people that are in distress, in the need of their souls. Oh, they are also, Lord, in our own midst. Thou hast worked it. Thou knowest where that they are when we also do not. But, Lord, that thou may also feed them, that thou may lead and comfort them. And when thou hast given unto them a little hope, oh, that thou may also fulfill it in thyself, that thou may give encouragement to all those that are discouraged and distressed, and that thou may cause us, when our hearts are going on careless in this world, that we may be pricked therein, and that there may be a cry that begins to go out unto thee this day, that thy children may be edified, nourished, instructed and rebuked, and that they may walk again in the paths of righteousness, that faith may be given to take hold by thy Spirit of thine only begotten Son, who is so very dear and precious unto the people who are afflicted and poor in this world, those that do not know the next step that they have to take. Oh, lead them therein, and that that broken covenant may be forsaken, and that that old man may be mortified, and that that new man may flourish day by day in the midst of the congregation, that thy people may be walking lamps in this world, and that are burning in the midst of the church and of the world. Oh, that they may be a testimony in life, in conversation, and that many may be drawn unto the true and the living God. Do look on all thy truly sent servants, increase their number. Remember us when the curatorium will meet soon. Lord, wilt thou send forth those who are truly converted and convicted and called by thee, and that thou may give thy word to prosper over the length and the breadth of the whole world. And wilt thou look on all whom thou hast truly sent, or when thou hast not sent us, or then that thou thyself would remove from the office. But, Lord, when thou hast sent, oh, that thou may help from above, as thou alone hast promised and art able to do, and are willing to do for the sake of thy people, though even thy servants have left thee days without number. Oh, could it please thee, yet undeservedly, to grant us a blessing within, that it may be lively, O Lord, in our own hearts, that we also may be a testimony in the midst of thy church. Oh, that thou may put away the prince of darkness, and wilt thou undeceive us if we deceive ourselves? Or if our eyes have never been opened, then wilt thou open our eyes for the first time in this day, and may thou give true conversion. Lord, look upon all that do deceive ourselves. Oh, that thou may grant us then light from above. And may thou increase that certainty and the assurance in the life of thy people, that they may be given to cleave unto thee in a true and firm faith and an ardent love. And that thou may draw the roots out of the land of Moab. Look upon us in thy mercy, and remember us with all thy grace in all its freeness. Take reasons out of thyself to forgive all of our many sins. Look upon her that has lost her brother-in-law. Lord, that thou may supply. in the climbing of her years also. And may thou comfort as man is not able, and all those that do mourn and that do become old. Lord, look upon them in a special way in this morning hour, when we may read and hear of one who was so close to the end of his life. And Lord, thou knowest that there are those that are so fearful, and there are those that are discouraged, oh, because that life that is so nearly gone, and the time that is so very, very short. But Lord, could it please thee to look upon them then in this morning hour, and to grant them that same cry as that man, and that thou may hear it from heaven, thy dwelling place. Do look upon him that must receive surgery in the week that is to come. Guide thou the hands of the physicians. Oh, give health and strength also for his eyes. And Lord, could it please thee to bless the afflictions, even as it was with this man of whom we hope to hear in this morning hour. Take then reasons out of thyself. And when there is gladness also in marriages in the midst of the congregation, oh, that thou may give humble and thankful hearts, and that thou hast spared hitherto, and wilt thou supply in all the needs of the lives, personally and families. Look upon us then in this day. Lord, remember us in mercy, forgiving and taking away, blotting out all our transgressions for the sake of thine only begotten Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 64, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, I lift my soul to thee. O my God, I trust thy might. Let not foes exult o'er me. Shame me not before their sight. And what follows in all stanzas of Psalter 64. Congregation, despite all the roaring and the opposition of the devil, the Lord is going to have and gather his church even to the end of time. It will not be in comparison to the men of this world, a great multitude. We read, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. But every one of them will have to be converted, you two children. Every one of them. Every one of them will have to be brought off of that broad way. And they will have to be brought through that straight gate and made to walk upon that narrow way. And those circumstances of each one, they will not all be the same. But the substance of that conversion, that shall indeed be the same, because there is only one way. There will not be, we may be sure, a way according unto the flesh of that people. What does the Lord Jesus say? Through much tribulation that we must enter into the kingdom of God. But it is a sure way. It is a certain way, wherein each one of them being led, they shall enter in. And we wish with the Lord's help to consider something of this in this morning hour out of the words of our text, which you can find in Luke 23 and the 41st verse. Luke 23, verse 41. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. So far, the words of our text. The confession of the thief on the cross first, and the place where this confession was born. Second, the substance which this confession contained. And third, the reply in which this confession received. The confession of the thief on the cross. First, the place it was born. Second, the substance it contained. And third, the reply it received. Congregation, when Job did speak about the Leviathan, then he said, his heart that is firm as a stone. Yea, as hard, he says, as the nether millstone. Do you ever feel your heart to be so as that Leviathan? Also maybe in this morning, when you come up faithfully to the house of the Lord, but that you have to say, Lord, a heart within that is like a stone, so it is by nature. And then we can read that Noah, he has pleaded for 120 years with that old world to no avail. No, the heart of that people that was just like a stone. And then with scourging and with a crown of thorns and with a purple robe and with great mockery, then we can read how that Pilate, he is pleading with the Jews. But it is to no avail. And then we can read the Apostle Paul. He tries to speak also to that people. He tells them about his own life, how that he has persecuted this way unto death, how that the Lord has come, how that the Lord has said to him thus far and no further, stopped him in his way, turned him about. And what is the fruit of it? And then that people, they are crying out, away with such a man, because it is not fit that he should live. A heart as firm as a stone, yea, as hard as a nether millstone. That which man is not able to break, that which man is not able to melt. Do you ever feel it now to be so? It was so also with this man whom we consider in this morning hour. It was so also with him. But then it became different. But then it became different. Did it ever become different with you? Where did it become different with him? It became different with him when he was hanging on the cross. Or what does the Lord have to do in the life of his own elect? The Lord needs to break them down. How much work that the Lord has to do in order to break down that people. That is not typical that it happens in one day as it was with this man. Most of the time, and that is taking a much longer time, but now we see how free that the Lord is. But the Lord then is often pleased to do this in the way of afflictions. Can those afflictions of themselves break the heart of a man? No, they cannot. Because we see that in his fellow. We see that in this second thief. Or it is his comrade. It is his friend in wickedness. Do you also have friends in wickedness, young people? Do you realize that we are persons who are able to be affected by other people? As so that the Lord says in his word, how that we ought to separate ourselves from the wicked in this world, so that we will not follow after them. And so we see it was also these two men. Then it is a wonder if we can dwell with such people, and that we will not follow them because our hearts, they are also wicked. And now, through conversion, that is a free work of the grace of God that is not given to everyone. Now we see these two men, they are crucified on the right hand and on the left hand of the Lord Jesus. And then it is the electing love of the Lord, whereby he is choosing the one and he is leaving go of the other. Though that man, he is left in his own responsibility with his own guilt. Same punishment. He is hanging with him on the cross. But there is no effect. It does not break his heart. No, afflictions of themselves, they do not break our hearts. All the plagues that the Lord brought against the land of Egypt, they did not break the heart of the king of Egypt. The Lord can take away even our firstborn. And man continues in that same way that he was going before. Oh, what is necessary? When Elijah was on the mount, the Lord was not in the wind. He was not in the fire. He was not in the earthquake. But then he heard a still small voice. And what did he do? He wrapped his face in his mantle. Because then he heard the voice of the Lord. And yet, often it is the case that the Lord is using the ways of affliction for the conversion of his people. Manasseh, he had to be brought into the prison before that he besought the Lord his God, before that he humbled himself, before that he prayed unto God. Saul had to be struck down to the ground by the Lord. And how was it that the Lord has led Ruth out of Moab? Oh, that was in a way of great and heavy afflictions in her life. Congregation, what does the Lord have to do to break our heart? What is now necessary in order for that heart that is like Leviathan, that is as hard as a stone, what is now necessary before that heart will be broken? No, we do not say we should ask for afflictions, because of themselves they will do nothing but harden our heart. But if now that had to be, if that had to be that we would say the Lord would have to lead us in such a way in order that my heart would be broken, what would we say? Would we say, Lord, go through? Would we say, Lord, continue? Would we say, Lord, do what is necessary for me. Only do not leave me to go all my life with the heart of Leviathan. That way we can read that is sometimes heavy for the flesh of God's children. But what does Paul say? He says, we glory in tribulations also. Why? Because tribulation worketh patience, he says. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Or of himself, that thief, he was no different than his comrade in wickedness. Matthew and Mark, and they relate how he also was mocking with the Lord Jesus. But congregation, when the Lord comes, and when the Lord will shoot an arrow in our heart, all then that heart that is like the nether millstone, then that Leviathan heart that breaks to pieces. And that is now the moment that all our mocking does cease. No, then we are not able to join with the multitudes, with the crowds, everyone doing the same thing. No, then we are not able to go in such a way anymore. No, then we are not able to cast away the afflictions and the dealings that the Lord is having with us in our life. No, then we are not able just to set them aside anymore. Then we are not able just to cast them to the wind anymore. Children, many were mocking. Many were mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man too. But suddenly it stopped. Oh, did your life ever so change?
And when that mocking stopped, then it was as if that man, he could not bear to hear it anymore. Not only could he not do it himself, but he could not bear to hear it anymore coming out of the mouth of his former friend. Oh, when the Lord is coming, then the mouth also goes open in a way of rebuke. Oh, did your friend ever rebuke you? That is a true friend. When he is ready to say that what you are doing is wrong, when he is ready to say what you are doing is sinful, do you have such a friend, children? A true friend? Are you such a friend? Also unto your friends, the place where this confession was born, where was it? It was upon the cross. It was, congregation, a sanctified cross. Did you ever have, do you have, a cross in this life? What is your cross? Or when we would go from one to the next, and then every home, every heart, that will have its own cross. They will all be different. But now we ask you this. Oh, did that cross, did that ever have this fruit in your life? Was that cross ever sanctified in your life? Or will this thief forever testify against us? What was his confession? We see that in our second thought, the substance of this confession, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. That is now the first part of his confession. That is, congregation, the first knowledge that we need. That is now the first knowledge that the Spirit is giving in the life of His people. That is the first knowledge of true conversion. Do we also know that knowledge? That is the knowledge of our own guilt. Oh, the Lord Jesus is not precious. Let us not fool ourselves. The Lord Jesus is not precious. Though the mouth be full of Him, the Lord Jesus is not precious. To those who do not come to the knowledge of sin, He is a Savior, congregation, from sin. And therefore it is impossible that we would rightly love Him, that we would rightly need Him, when we know nothing in truth of our own guilt. And this man, he was taught quickly. That is not so common. No, in this world, then most of the time, and what is the Lord's work that is taking much longer than it took for this man. But now we see that even when that way is short, then the Lord, He is starting in the same place. He is not skipping over this. The knowledge of our own guilt, the acceptance of our own guilt, the owning of our own guilt, whether that way be long, whether that way be short, this is now the way wherein the Lord is leading all His children. Boys and girls, do not wait until you are old. And why not? Well, we read one example here in the Holy Bible. One example of a man who was converted just before he died. Now that is two things. That is in the first place a warning for us when we are young. That we say there is only one example. And that is so true because the older that we become, the longer that we walk in sin, and the harder, oh, the harder that our heart is becoming. Thus it is on the one side a warning for each one. On the other side, it is an antidote. It is an antidote against despondency. For those who indeed have become old and who have walked so many years and that must say, my life now draws unto a close. And then for that people that think that it is now already impossible. And then the Lord Jesus, he says, no. No, it is not yet impossible. Oh, that time that is so very, very, very short. And that heart that is so very, very, very hard. But what is now impossible with men, that is possible with the Lord. Sometimes then we go to visit old people. Oh, they draw near unto the time of their passing away. And that time is so short, and then we think, where must we now begin? And when they have heard that way their whole life, where must we now begin? But here now we see that the Lord gives us also as office bears instruction, how that when the Lord will convert a man, even in the 11th hour of his life, then the Lord is beginning in that same place. But now there are also steps. There are steps in that knowledge of sin. And that is why often that it is taking time. Sin is a great evil in the apprehension of that people. Oh, sin is a great evil even in the beginning. Then they see how sin that pollutes. Then they see how that sin that grieves the Lord, that it angers the Lord. Then they see how that sin that is making separation between God and my soul. But now what does the Bible say? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And congregation, this is also so very, very necessary to learn. Because in the beginning, though we see and begin to see the evil of sin, actually we think it is still all repairable. If the Lord will only wait long enough, and if I am given sufficient time, oh, and then I will make it good again with the Lord. Oh, yes, sin is awful. But that it makes me worthy of death, that is now something else. What do we read in the confession of this malefactor? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. What is he suffering? Death is the reward that he must suffer. He is hanging upon a tree. And now what does this man say? He says, this punishment, death, that is my due reward. I've earned this. Oh, that is a man who is not able to argue with the justice of the Lord. That is a man that must say the Lord is right. though that I have to perish forever. The Lord is right when he must condemn me. The Lord is right when he must put me forever and forever away from his eternal presence. David was not a stranger of this. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Why? That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Oh, a lesson that is so necessary for us to learn, if the death of the Lord Jesus Christ will ever become precious to us. Why? Because the death of Christ that answers to something. The death of Christ answers to something in the life of God's children. What does it answer to? What is it over against? Oh, it answers to their own death. Can you not die? Are you afraid to die? The death of Christ that is answering, it is over against their death. And actual atonement, an actual substitution. Thus, if we have never deserved to die, how can we understand, how can we receive with savor the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? What does the Lord show to his people over against all their own worthiness to condemnation? We receive the due reward of our deeds. What is the Lord now showing to that people over against this? This man has done nothing amiss. Thus the Lord shows not only their own guilt, but the Lord is also leading them further, that the Lord is opening to them something of his only begotten Son, that over against their own guilt and worthiness of death and punishment, that the Lord is opening to that people something of the death and the punishment of him who was not worthy to die. Thus there is the one part, but then the Lord is also leading into the other part, and that can be a long time. Often it is a long time. The Lord is free, but the Lord does not leave that people in their misery. No, there comes a time that the Lord is also opening to that people a way. And he shows to them a treasure. Oh, a treasure in the innocent suffering of that only begotten Son of God. The Lord revealing this to the eye of their soul. What is the fruit of this? Of this revelation of the Son of God in the life of those that are condemnable in this world. What is the fruit of this? Oh, we see that fruit so clearly here. They begin to cry to him, Lord, remember me. When thou comest into thy kingdom, oh, why does that thief, children, you can understand it too. Just think about it. Meditate. Do you ever meditate? Our world that is not given to meditation. We must go faster and faster always. We must always have a telephone with us, and we must always be able to contact each other, and we have no time for ourselves anymore. When we can be just alone. But we need time to be alone. We need time to be alone that we may meditate. And upon what do we meditate? Upon what do we think when we are all alone? Do you ever think upon the Lord? Do you ever think? Do you ever meditate upon your own relation to Him? Oh, think about it now for a moment. This man, he begins to pray to the Lord Jesus. And why? Because there is hope born in his soul. Hope. Was hope ever born in your soul? If there was no hope in his soul, he would not cry. Did he cry to his brother malefactor? On the other side of the Lord Jesus Christ, did he cry to him? And did he say, "My brother, remember me"? He did not. Why not? Because there was no hope there. There was no hope there. Then he does not waste his energy. And when we have no hope, then we also do not cry. But now this man, he begins to cry. And he begins to pray unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Why hope? Has been born in his soul. And he has been given to see that there is the way of salvation. Or he has been given to see that in him there is a possibility. Or he has been given to see a foundation in the dying Son of God. He has been given to see that in him there is a reason that God is able to answer him. That in him there is cause that the Lord, his own judge, may look upon him with compassion and in the way of mercy. Or he sees a foundation. And that suffering, innocent Son of God. He sees a foundation in his active, in his passive obedience. In that one name that is given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. Oh, we indeed justly. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, he has done nothing. Thing amiss. Oh, he begins to cry. Why? Oh, he wants it now for his own soul. Oh, you say, children, he has it, does he not? Is he not converted? Is that heart now not broken? Oh, yes, that heart is now. It's so broken to pieces. And not only so, but he may now have a sight by faith of that only begotten Son of God. But how is it for him? Oh, a sight of him. What does that do? A sight of him that shows to him what that way is. But he does not yet have it for himself. Oh, now he sees that in that Son of God. Oh, now he sees that in him there is salvation. But he still misses it. Or he sees where it can be found. But now he needs to obtain it yet. And so he begins to pray. He begins to seek. He begins to search after that Son of God. Oh, that is not a moment that is so easy forgotten in the life of God's children. Oh, then when you wake them up when they are sleeping, boys and girls, your father, your mother, and they can speak of this then, even in the middle of the night. Oh, that moment when the Lord has come over in their life, when the Lord has shown to that people where that it can be found, that is so different now for the people than it was before. When that pilgrim had to say, I cannot see that wicked gate. But later then he is led in through that gate. Oh, that way goes so open unto him. And then he may rejoice already just to see the way when he thought that it was for him so lost. Oh, but now to receive it, now to obtain it for myself, or to receive the release of that burden of sin that is upon my back. No, to see him. No, then that burden is not gone yet. But it will come. It will come in that time that the Lord is pleased to take it off. Lord, remember me. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, what kind of cry is that? That is a cry that is based wholly and solely on the free gift and mercy of the Lord. There is congregation, a life of sin that lies behind him. And there is death that is before him. And he cannot do anything anymore to make it right with God, that he may be able to stand before his judge. And then there is a cry. Then there is a simple cry that says, oh God, I am lost. I am lost. Did that cry ever come out of your heart? And it is impossible to be saved. Lord, remember me. Or was that ever your cry? Is it the cry of a child, father and mother? What will be the answer? Let us sing. 217. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. All stanzas of 217. Thank you.
our last thought, the reply that this confession received, and Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That was the reply of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the confession and the supplication of this malefactor. What does the Lord Jesus say? Whoso shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And whoso shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And then there are those, they say, that is just an outward confession. But it is not so. It is not just a confession, no, with the lips, but that is a confession with the heart. We can, if this last part, this man has done nothing amiss, that is no comfort to our soul, then we must ask why. Congregation, why is it? It is because now this first part we have no knowledge of. That is, we indeed justly. Then there is no comfort in that second part. But now it is to such as this malefactor that the Lord Jesus is speaking a message of consolation and relief. And what does he say? Verily. He says, surely. He says, truly. And then he speaks about what is going to happen in the further hours of that same day. And he has the ability to say it, because he is God, knowing the future, but also because he has authority to say it, even to bring it to pass. But now the Lord is speaking. The Lord is speaking to this malefactor. And when the Lord speaks, congregation, then there is a certainty that is going out with his own word. That he is granting faith in the life, in the soul of their people, that they may also be able to receive those words which he says. Spoke to a Muslim one time when we were on the airport, on the airplane years ago, and he said, a person can never be sure whether he is saved or not. Oh, congregation, what a poverty. What a poor religion. When we can never be sure. Because in faith, there is a certainty that all the powers of darkness in this world and below are not able to take away. Verily, he says, I say unto thee, it is a personal word. And when the Lord is speaking his own word, then it is to the soul of the people. Our fathers, they say in our Heidelberg Catechism, not only for others, but also for me. Verily, truly, I say unto thee. And where does that certainty come from? All because it is the Lord himself that has spoken, and he is not a man that he should lie. Oh, there is a people, is that also you? There is a people in this world that need to hear it out of the mouth of the Lord. Then it is not sufficient when we may hear it out of the mouth of our friend,
out of the mouth of an office bearer, a servant of the Lord, because there is no certainty in this. But when I may hear it out of the mouth of the Lord, personally for my own soul, then faith may receive it. Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It is a man congregation who has gone from hell to heaven in one moment. That is the way it is in the life of God's children. There are people that are not strangers of what this man may experience. One moment, he is expecting and agreeing with the rightness of the Lord to be judged forever and forever. And the next moment, all the next moment, upon the word of the Lord, he is embracing by faith the promise of eternal life. Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, when the Lord Jesus went to heaven that day, he took a thief with him. He took a thief with him. Oh, is there a greater wonder in this whole world? Because in that thief, there is a picture of the entire church of God from the beginning unto the end of the world. That people for whom he has suffered, that people for whom he has paid that price, or he took a thief with him. It was a testimony of his own goodness, a testimony of his own grace. To those people who are not able to make it good anymore with God, it is a testimony of the power, the sufficiency of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is not a person, a man, a woman, a boy or a girl, for whom that blood is not sufficient. Not a person in our midst. A testimony of the freeness of his grace. Upon what was it received? It was received upon request. It was received upon request. He asked for it. And he received it. Is that not simple? Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Or what is it? To receive the promise of the Lord without conditions. Completely from the side of the Lord. Nothing needed to be added. And yet what a trial that man still had to endure. Because it is soon after that that sun is hid and it becomes so dark. For 3 hours, then he cannot see anything anymore. And in those hours, we do not read that the Lord Jesus is speaking anymore. Those are times wherein Satan's voice is so very often heard in the life of that people. And now there is a man who has to stand very, very soon before his judge. And how is it now with that people that have received the promise of the Lord, the promise of the surety, and still yet have to stand before the judge? Then there are times when they are so very, very afraid, even with that promise of the Lord. Why? Because then they see so much of that standard of His law. And then that justice of God is so much in the foreground. And then that word that the Lord has spoken to their soul, that is maybe so many years ago, and the power that is so gone out of it. And then they think of that time, that moment, that they still have to stand before God. And then they are still afraid, even with everything that has happened in their life. And then there are other moments. Oh, some moments when that thief, even through the darkness, may see, as it were, but the shadows of that suffering Savior. And that through a glass, darkly, that he may be able, once again by faith, to take a little hold of that word that the Lord has spoken. And then finally that light that comes again. But then those words, they come forth. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, did that man have any light into that what the Lord Jesus has cried out in those moments? Forsaken of God, that I might never be forsaken of Him. That we do not know. But one thing we may be sure, that for that man, that strife was soon over. That strife was soon over. And then he may receive that promise of the Lord. And what was that promise? With me. With me. In paradise. Oh, it was a short warfare. A warfare where soon, that he may lay down all of his weapons, because there is no more strife anymore with me in paradise, in that place, oh, where nothing shall enter that defiles, nothing that works abomination, nothing that makes a lie with me in paradise. Who has paid for you the price completely to its bitter end. Oh, with me, to live no more a life of sin, of hankering after all this world, no more a covetous heart, desiring to steal all the vain and carnal things that are passing away in this world. With me, in paradise, no, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, the things that are prepared for them that love Him. Congregation, will we also receive the portion of this man after this our vain life is soon done? Then it is going to be one of the two. Then it is going to be with me in paradise, or it is going to be receiving the due reward of our deeds. It is, congregation, for the asking, for the asking. Oh, ask the Lord to show you your due reward. Ask the Lord to reveal something to your soul also of the innocence of that suffering mediator, that you may receive that simple cry, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. Children, will you not take that home with you? It is an easy prayer, is it not? Will you not go on your knees and say, Lord, I too have sinned. Oh, Lord, remember me. We do not know any other way to tell you how you can be saved. We do not know. That is the only way. Lord, remember me. And these shall never be made ashamed. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is thy way, it is thy word. Oh, bring it in our hearts. It is so simple, Lord. But we have no place to cry to thee by nature. We see not our sin. We see not beauty in thee. Oh, everything needs to be open to us. But Lord, we have been together for a little while in this morning in thy house. And it is thy own word that may go forth in all shortcomings. Oh, convert us, forgiving our many sins, and bless this simple word in the midst of the congregation. Dismiss us. And with thy blessing, not only for this life, but with thy eternal blessings for all our souls. And for Jesus' sake, amen. 174, 2 through 4. Through pain and trouble thou hast led and humbled all our pride. But in the end to liberty and wealth thy hand did guide. And what follows in 174, and we announce to the congregation that a male members meeting is scheduled for Monday evening, April 25 at 7:30 p.m. to deal with some needs of our Calgary branch concerning their future place of worship. 174, 2 through 4.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.